Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Well, good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are, dear UFCCM affiliates, friends, and supporters. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall and the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast, coming to you today by way of UFCCM Anointed Radio. We're so grateful for each of you and how you join us each month, whether you may be listening on your phone, on our Facebook page, or at ufccm.org. Blessings to you all, and we pray that you all are well. We give honor to God and to our Ecumenical Patriarch and Mother Bishop, to our Episcopal Board of Bishops, our Sacred College of Bishops, and all of the national officials and clergy, and you, the laity of the UFCCM. We're so thankful and so grateful that God has allowed us to come together one more time, and that in his goodness and mercy, he's given us another opportunity as we continue as co-laborers in the UFCCM laity ministry. We're so excited and so uplifted and so encouraged, even in the face of everything. We're excited about all that God is doing in and through the UFCCM, and a sincere, heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you for your continued prayers and your ongoing support as we journey together in this ministry of laity training. This morning, we will have our opening prayer from Elder Carolyn Hunt, who is the Associate Pastor of the First Church of Faith, Power, and Deliverance in Baltimore, Maryland. Elder Hunt.
Everyone, let us go before the throne of grace. O Lord, most gracious and heavenly Father, our everlasting Savior, to thee we give the praise this morning, to thee we give the glory, and to thee we give you all the honor, for you, Lord, are worthy to be praised. Father, as we approach the throne of grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come, Lord, first to thank you that you have allowed us to come together one more time. Father, you have allowed us to come together from wherever we are, Lord, to stop whatever we're doing, Lord, and to recognize the necessity and the importance, Lord God, of hearing your holy word. Father, we praise you for the diligence, dedication, and devotion of those who make this broadcast possible every month, Lord. without excuse, without hesitation, Lord. And truly, Lord God, we have been blessed down through the years. We have been blessed and continue to be blessed. Father, as we come, we pray a special prayer this morning for our speaker. Lord, we pray for this anointed woman of God, that she will bring forth the word of God, that our eyes will be opened, that our hearts will receive, Lord God, what she has to say, Lord, and that we will be inspired to continue our walk with you. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity just to say thank you, just to give you honor, Lord, just to give you glory, and to let you know, Lord God, that we truly love you with all of our hearts and mind, soul, and strength. Lord, let the word that comes forth today be a blessing to our souls, and let us go forth rejoicing, praising, and lifting you up forevermore. Father, we ask this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. In Christ, our Savior, we pray and say amen.
Amen. Amen. And we
thank
know
you,
that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Thank you for that beautiful prayer ushering us in to our broadcast today, Elder Hunt. The scripture that was laid on my heart for today is just one verse, Romans 10 and 17. I'm going to read the King James Version and the NIV. The King James Version, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the NIV says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. This passage resonated with me as I think back on Paul's writings in the book of Romans. That book is really about faith. And faith is translated from the Greek word pistis, which means belief, trust, or confidence in someone or something. And that word faith, pistis, is key to the book of Romans, and it's used 40 times in the book of Romans, 3 times in chapter 10 alone. And we know that hearing in the context of this scripture is not just the physical receiving of sound by the ear, but it seems to designate something more, the receiving or accepting of a report. Now, this scripture brings me to a reflection on these broadcasts and our theme, continue to move forward by faith. We come to you every month with the objective of sharing messages focused on the Word of God. These messages of hope, encouragement, and inspiration, which are designed to build us up spiritually and empower us in our Christian walk. And you will notice that the content of each lesson, message, and presentation we bring to you each month, while they're presented by different speakers in their own unique ways, they have the same focus, namely expounding on the Word of God. So as we listen and share, our faith is strengthened, whereby we become stronger in the Lord and can continue to move forward by faith. This is our mission and what God has assigned to our hands in this ministry of laity training. Well, our speaker for today is Deacon Monica Zindler from the UFCCM Midwest jurisdiction. And I'd like you to tell you just a little bit about Deacon Zindler. She's the fifth of 12 children. And the most important thing of all that I could say to you is that about her is that she accepted the Lord at age 8. And she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when she was 10 years old. She's a licensed deacon at the Bread of Life Cathedral of Hope under the dynamic duo, the dynamic leadership of Bishop H.D. Haywood and Bishop-elect Pastor Bev Haywood. Deacon Zindler has a BS degree from the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee in psychology She has a master's degree in education from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She holds a certificate in biblical counseling and is a licensed school psychologist. And in sharing with Deacon Zindler, and she and I have had the opportunity of sharing many, many times together, she's had some very interesting and challenging professional experience. One that stands out to me is that she worked for 2 years as a school psychologist at a maximum security prison for young adult male offenders in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that, I know, requires a lot of prayer and a lot of faith. She currently works as a school psychologist in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, at a high school of 2,000 students. And when she told me that she was the only school psychologist for 2,000 students, again, I thought about the importance of continuing to move forward by faith. Deacon Zindler also plays the French horn. And if you tune in to one of our quarterly Laity Connection Network sessions, we're planning to feature her as an instrumentalist so that we can enjoy her music on the French horn. We are so happy to welcome Deacon Zindler as our speaker today. And she's going to be talking about a very important subject. And I want you to, you know, listen up, get your pen and paper out and take notes and just listen up, because it will be so inspiring as she guides and leads us in the discussion today. So we're in anticipation of what she's going to share. So at this time, I am going to bring forward Deacon Zindler. Good afternoon, Deacon Zindler.
Good afternoon, Teacher Tyndall. Or it's still morning here.
Yes, morning for some and afternoon for others. But it is so good to hear you today. And I am now going to just turn this over to you.
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to just humbly give thanks and glory and honor to my Lord Jesus Christ, who is my Savior and my best friend. And I would like to give honor to Bishop Tyndall and Mother Bishop, and to my Bishop, Bishop Haywood, and Bishop Pastor Bev, Bishop-elect Pastor Bev Haywood DeShazer. She's got a long title. And to you, Teacher Tyndall, for allowing me to come here and to share something that's very dear to my heart. So today I am talking about moving forward by faith through intimacy with God. And I'm going to be talking a lot about the Sabbath rest. To me, the Sabbath rest is a very important piece that I think is not always understood even by myself. But I dug into this and I am moving forward by faith as I teach. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short, for we have received the good news just as they did. But the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest, even though his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way, and on the seventh day God rested from all his works. Again in that passage he says, they will never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, he again specifies a certain day, today. He specified this, speaking through David after such a long time. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter the rest so that no one will fall into the pattern of disobedience. There is a lot in that scripture, and it talks about the rest from Genesis, the rest that Jesus speaks of, and the rest that will to come when we all enter heaven and enter into our final rest. But I have never heard a teaching on the Sabbath rest. I did go and find some incredible teachings online, but it's something that I've always questioned in my mind. What is a Sabbath rest? What should we as Christians be doing in taking a Sabbath rest? I came across a resource called the Bible Project. It is very authentic. It has some Bible scholars that really dig deep into the Word of God. And I listened to some podcasts and read some material that they had published. And one of the things that they talk about is that God rested on the seventh day, which is in Hebrew connected to the idea of fullness or completeness, which is something we all long for but don't often experience. Working endlessly, fighting back chaos and busyness is what we as humans, especially in the United States, are kind of consumed about. So the Bible Project took this back to Genesis 1. And they said Genesis starts out with darkness and disorder. But then God speaks to bring about light and order so that life can flourish. And I think about that. The Sabbath rest brought about light and order so that life can flourish. That is what our Sabbath rest is supposed to do. When we rest in God, no matter what our lives feel like, no matter what our lives look like, God can bring light and order and give us rest in the midst of the chaos or whatever struggle or whatever trial we are going through. In Exodus 20:8-11, God again says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock or resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. I have to ask myself, how holy do I keep that Sabbath rest? How intimate am I with God on that Sabbath day? Do I just go to church and fill the rest of that day with busy, busy, busy running around? Do I run around before I get to church? Do I run around when I get to church? How much of a Sabbath rest is it? Now, of course, the Israelites started their Sabbath rest on Friday evening, and it went until Saturday evening, and we as Christians predominantly celebrate Sunday as our Sabbath day. But I think the important thing is that we set aside a day for God. One day out of 7 days, the Israelite is to denounce his dominion over his own time and recognize God's dominion over his time. Keeping the Sabbath is an acceptance of the kingdom sovereignty of God. It is not easy, really, to set aside a Sabbath. We have to intentionally allow ourselves to be interrupted and to allow ourselves to be still and know that he is God. It is a regular reminder that I am not autonomous. God is my God. He is in control of my life. If I truly believe that, then the Sabbath rest is something I would run to and long for and purposely set aside. I'm not at that place that I want to be with the Sabbath rest. I'm just going to make that confession to you all that are listening. I haven't made it to that Sabbath rest, but I long for it. I think that God put that longing in all of us for the Sabbath rest. Because without God, I am dust, nothing. God is the one who formed me into what I am. And I need God's presence to continue to form me. I need to enter into that place where the Creator rested, because in the day that he rested, he filled the earth with his presence. I need my life to be filled with the presence of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 14 to 15, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, and any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day reminds me that I am set free, not by works, but by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Egyptians were set free from slavery. I am set slavery of sin. I am a slave to sin until I make Jesus Christ Lord of my heart and soul. And when I do that, I am set free, and Jesus is free to be my Lord. And when he is my Lord, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Just as Moses led the Israelites out of slavery through God, as God's presence guided them in the desert, when we make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we are free to enter into that Sabbath rest. When Moses entered the presence of God, he had to put a veil on his face because the presence of God shone so strongly that the Israelites were afraid, and they backed away, and so he had to put a veil over his face. We should have a certain presence of the Lord on us when the Sabbath is over. We should be in communion in such a way with God that people will know that we are Christians by the way that our spirit moves and acts and presents itself to the world. People should know we are a peculiar people, that there is something different about us. In my humble opinion, we can't get to that place without doing a Sabbath rest, however we do it. I don't know the answer on how we do it. I do know God's called us to it. And so I am yearning to get to a place where I really do enter into a Sabbath rest, expecting to hear from God. Because those are the times that when we enter into God's presence in such a powerful way and we shut out the rest of the world in our own little quiet time, that we begin to hear the voice of God. And the other thing that having a Sabbath rest does is it keeps us from being enslaved to our labor. It reminds us that God is our provider. God provides for us, and we are not the ones that we do the labor, but God is the provider. And so on the Sabbath, when I rest from my labor, I trust God to provide enough on Saturday to pay for or provide for me on Sunday. That's what the Israelites did. All their harvesting, all their labor of making whatever food they were going to make, they made enough on Saturday to last for Sunday. Do I trust God to do that for me? Do I trust that if I give him 24 hours of my week, do I do it because I trust him to take care of me and that I can enter into an intimate time of rest with Jesus. Blessed are you, Lord, our God of the universe, who has set us apart as holy by his commandments and commanded us to light the light of the Sabbath. Those are the words of a Jewish song that is often sung on the Sabbath. I'd like to read that again. It's just so beautiful. Blessed are you, Lord, our God of the universe, who has set us apart as holy by his commandments and commanded us to light the light of the Sabbath. We need rest from our battle in order to gain the upper hand on sin. I need a true reminder of the reality of my life in Christ, that none of my days belong to me. When I set aside a day to the Lord, it really gives me a chance to reflect and to realize that I am in the hands of God, and that every day and every breath that I have belongs to him. And when I give him that day of rest, I'm reminded of that, that all my days belong to him. Yes, I'm setting this day aside for him, but really all my days belong to him. Bishop, are you there? Right now would be a good time for a break.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
Water. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back. So we ended up with it keeps us from being enslaved to our labor. I don't know if any of you have struggled with being a workaholic, but I can struggle with that. And there's nothing that breaks the chain of workaholism than a good Sabbath. I had the incredible opportunity 2 summers ago. To set out and do a 40-day wilderness leadership training camp. We had cabins with no indoor plumbing or electricity, and we were instructed not to use any internet, which was easy since there was no Wi-Fi close by. We trained 6 days a week, and on Sundays, we were to take a Sabbath rest. I was excited because I had never done a true Sabbath rest, and I really wanted to know what it was all about. We were told not to talk to anyone, fast if we felt led, and the idea was that we were to be alone with God. I had yearned for this. I wanted to know what happens when you give a day to God, read your Bible, pray, and wrestle with God. I went to this 40-day retreat knowing that God had a work of healing to do in me. I had been quite wounded from losing a ministry that God gave me to run for 20 years. And then one day, coming into work with excitement, that day was our 20th year anniversary for the ministry, and I thought perhaps we should plan a great celebration, only to be greeted by a board president telling me that I was fired from the ministry I started. God kept me, lifted me up, and set me in a new job and house. But complete forgiveness had not been accomplished. Somehow, I knew that I had to get away alone with God to accomplish that. And I looked forward to these Sabbath rests with some hesitation because I knew that if God worked out in me, I'd have to go through some pain in order to get to the other side of this trial, as many of you who have experienced trials know. I had experienced other trials in my life, and, you know, I had a lost an eye to cancer and a few other things. But this trial was more painful even than that because it was something that my whole identity had been wrapped up in for 20 years. I thank God for a loving Christian mother who now has gone on to be with the Lord, who every time I my group home, she would say, "Whose group home?" And I would say, "God's group home." Because on that day that I was fired, I knew that it couldn't have happened without God's hand allowing it to happen. And so I purposed in my heart that I couldn't go anywhere. I said, where would I go? I can't leave God over this. I have no place else to go but press into him. And so I did, and I pressed into the book of Job. But complete forgiveness had not yet come, and I had not really truly turned over all the hurt and the pain that I had in my heart to God. And I struggled as I was going on that first the first Sabbath rest that we had of many. And I went before the Lord, and I just said, Lord, where do I begin? Because I know I might as well quit avoiding this. I know that what you want to do is do a great healing. And so I opened up the Bible, and I just prayed that God would direct me. And he took me to God, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And, I mean, we have read that prayer, those of us who have been Christians a while, we've read that for a long, long time, many, many, many times. But I saw something. God will show you this is living word. And so you can read it one day, and suddenly you have a whole different perspective. And on that day, I read the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm going to be starting with Matthew 20. Sing along, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee. He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay with me. I never quite saw that scripture. I mean, it says he turned to his apostles and told them, I am deeply distressed. My soul is swallowed up in sorrow. So Jesus didn't hold all of that inside of him. He went and he shared it with his disciples, and then he went a little further, and he began to pray. And then he reached out to his father, and he fell face down and prayed, my father, if it is possible, let this, yet not as I will, but as you will. And that scripture just set me free. I suddenly knew that what God wanted me to do was to share with him my hurt and pain, not bottle it up, but to come before him and to tell him how it hurt and to just allow him to minister to me and allow him to take the hurt and the pain away. You see, that Sabbath rest brings you into a place of intimacy that cannot be gotten any other way. You shut off your phone, you shut off your television, you shut off voices from other people, and you just get alone with God, and powerful things can happen. And when you set aside 24 hours, that's a lot of time for God to move and for God to work. So I went to the lake that was nearby, and I found some stones, and I had been directed by someone. This idea came from someone else. And they said, throw the stone in the water, and each stone represent one of the people that I needed to forgive. And I did something I have never done before. When I've forgiven someone, I would just say, Father, I forgive them. But this time I said, Father, I forgive them, and I ask you to forgive them too. You see, if you don't go the second part and say, and I ask you to forgive them too, I personally was saying, you know, bless him with a brick, or, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, get him good, God, you know. But what God was asking was for me to ask him to forgive him too. That was a tall order. And I got to tell you, if I hadn't been in that Sabbath rest where God was working on me slowly and slowly, bringing me to a place of where I could truly, truly forgive, I could not have done that without that Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest, I think, when Jesus said, you know, man was made for the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, because that is the time that God will come in and meet us in an intimate place, in an intimate way. It's when he will come in and show us the dark corners of our life, but he'll show us the way out of those dark corners. Sometimes we don't sit long enough in the presence of God, and all we hear is the dark corner is right there. But God has more for us, and I will show you the way out. God showed the Israelites the way all the way for 40 years. He guided them through the wilderness. God will guide us through this wilderness of our life for the rest of our life, but we have to get alone with him, and we have to listen, and we have to hear what he has to say to us. And one of the other things God said to me is your identity is not in that group home. That group home was my group home. And, you know, I had a friend who was praying for me, and he said he heard the voice of God so strong in his spirit say that I, in order for God, Satan had planned to do far more damage to me than to just take down that group home. But God said no, and he would not let him finish it. But the only way to not allow Satan to go further was to allow that group home to be taken from me. And he, and what Satan had planned not only would have hurt my life, it would have hurt all of the girls' lives who had gone through that group home. I knew that God had my back, and I knew that he was just protecting me. But until you get alone with him, and you have to stay long enough, you have to stay long enough to see what is your plan for the way out of this, our Egypt, so to speak. You know, Jesus came to take us out of Egypt too. So our Egypt, we need to leave behind, and we need to move forward to our new life. One of the things that I feel God has done now, he's taken me out of that city, put me in a new job, sent me on a mountain. Well, it's a hill, but it feels like a mountain overlooking valleys, and I feel like God has just restored my spirit and my soul. Now, I do know that at any moment he can call me into service and ask me to give it all up, but that won't be hard because I've given it all up. I've given it all up, and it all belongs to him. I'm just the gardener. That's all I am. I think one of the other keys to keeping the Sabbath and intimacy with God lies in Mark 10, verses 40 to 42. But Martha was distressed by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her. As we move forward by faith in the year 2021, we have to move forward from a place of relationship with Jesus Christ, and from a place of deep intimacy in order to overcome all that this pandemic has, all that the attack of the world has, because we need to know who we are, and we need to know where God is leading us. So thank you. That is what I have for you all.
Deacon Monica, that has been so enlightening and so inspirational. I have a page of notes here of thoughts from your message, but we are going to take a quick break right now. and then we're going to come right back in with our commentator for today.
Amen.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
My, oh my, what a message, what words of inspiration, teaching us today about the Sabbath rest. And I'm not going to say anything right now, but I have just overflowed with inspiration and comments about this. But today we have as our guest commentator our very own Overseer James Brooks. Overseer Brooks is from the headquarters, the UFCCM headquarters jurisdiction, and he fellowships with the headquarters church in Baltimore, Maryland. And so, Overseer Brooks, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Praise God.
Praise God. We're so glad that you will be able to give your commentary on today's message in terms of how it has inspired, enlightened you, or have you learned anything new, or just any testimonies that you have that relate to this. So we're now going to turn it over to you for commentary.
Amen. Thank you so much, Teacher Tindall, for the opportunity to share here on the broadcast on today. We thank God for you, Bishop Haywood. I don't really want to get too much into. We thank God for our speaker, Deaconess, was it Zindler?
Zindler, yes.
Zindler, and her sharing. I think the biggest part that I want to bring out, and I think all of our listeners should really to take note of, is that the word rest that she used in her message that she shared today. I think we need to bring that out more so rather the Sabbath is on a Sunday or rather it's on a Saturday. I think we need to really look at the importance of finding rest in Christ.
Yes.
With so much that is going on today and with so much that is going on in society and in this country and in this world, in politics and Christianity and just with so much that is going on, it is so important that that we take note and that we find rest in Christ. And finding rest in Christ, and I want to look at what was important to me is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Wow.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. And I think it's important, that verse is important because she talked about rest and she talked about the different, she shared her testimony in regards to all that she had gone through her job. But this verse here deals with spiritual rest.
Yeah.
And we need to find spiritual rest in the chaos and the tolls and the different things that we face and that we deal with, amen, throughout throughout the day and throughout the world, different things that we're dealing with. Even through this pandemic, so many people, you know, we've lost over, maybe 600 and some thousand people. As a result of the sickness, as a result of people catching this sickness and this virus. But there was another sickness, and there's another disease that probably a lot have not even talked about, just by people being mentally sick and mm-hmm. being mentally challenged by going through all of the just the pandemic alone, not having work, not having a job, and losing their homes and losing their cars, their jobs, kids not being in school. So with all that going on, we also have to find rest and peace in Christ. And I think that's important, that through all that is going on and through all that we all the tests and the trials, a lot of people are trying different things to find rest and trying so many different things. But ultimately, we need to have rest and peace in Christ Jesus as we go forth and as we go throughout the different things that we challenges that we face throughout the day and throughout the time that we're facing and that we're living in now. We got to really lean and depend on Christ.
Yes. Well, you know, Overseer Brooks, the scripture that you gave us in Matthew 11:28, that is, and consistent with what Sister Monica was teaching us today, that is mm-hmm. the invitation. That cements the fact that we are invited to enter into his rest.
Right. It says, absolutely, because it says, come unto me. So he's saying it right there. He said, come all ye. That means everybody. Everybody that is, regardless of color, creed, nationality, just come unto me. He says, here I am. He's making himself totally available for us to come unto him. All those that are laboring, all those that are toiling, all those that you can find rest in him, spiritual rest in Christ Jesus.
Amen. And, you know, it's when we read God's word, we always see so much more every time we read it. But in this one verse, we see an invitation and a promise.
Mm-hmm.
An all-inclusive invitation for all ye that labor, come unto me. And the promise, I will give you rest.
Yes. I will give you rest. Amen.
Thank you for those beautiful words and commentary, Overseer Brooks. And Deacon Zindler, Sister, I'll call you Sister Monica for convenience. You have really opened up quite a bit in our thinking about rest. Because I don't think it's something that, you know, we ever give a lot of thought to in our daily busy lives.
Yes. No, it's interesting. When I was preparing for this, the Bible Project, the guy who was putting this together had spent a couple years in Jerusalem, and he talked about how they lived in the Orthodox area, and there was this great big market, and on Friday evening, there would be someone that would run through with a trumpet 30 minutes before the Sabbath started, 20 minutes before the Sabbath started, and people would start to pack up and put their things away and as they were preparing for the Sabbath rest. And I thought that was really interesting. There was also someone who would pray for people, would give people an opportunity to read to Judaism in order that their Sabbath rest might be more complete. So isn't that, you know, an interesting, something
yes,
very interesting
is.
about the Sabbath rest. But I totally agree with Pastor Brooks, and, you know, you never know how much you should prepare. But this Sabbath rest, you're right, sometimes we can take 10 minutes in our day for a moment of Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. It's really just a matter of turning yourself completely over to the Lord and allowing him to be Lord of that moment, Lord of that, you know, situation. So there is something to be said for that, as well as the full day if you set aside and allow yourself. He said that everything that the Jewish people did for that Sabbath rest was in preparation for that Sabbath rest. It was an event, and it was something they didn't consider an inconvenience. It was something they considered to be a holy day, a time to, you know, come before the Lord. And I think about my own life. Sometimes I'm going to confess, sometimes I think, oh, this day is, I got so much to do. How can I possibly give this day, you know?
Well, you know, you know, Sister Monica, this has just opened up so many questions and all. But what I want to do right now is open up the lines for our listeners to call in and join the conversation with any comments or questions that they have. And you know that the call-in number is 347-850-1405, and then you press 1. And while you're thinking about pressing 1, I want to throw this out. How many of you out there used or viewed the pandemic as a time of rest? So let's throw that out there. And Bishop Haywood, do we have any callers out there? I hope people will call in and share with us today.
Yes, we do have we have a lot of callers. We only have one that has pressed one so far. So we'll go ahead and pull this caller in. Caller, you are 415. 443-415. Go right ahead.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes, we can, Bishop.
Praise God. This is Bishop Kendall. Mother Bishop and I are merrily rolling along just outside of South Hill, Virginia, on our way to Baltimore, Maryland. But we have been able to tune into the broadcast, and we have enjoyed it very much, I think. Deacon Zegler, as usual, did a wonderful job in bringing forth the word from the Lord today, and I enjoyed the commentary from Overseer Brooks. I have two things I would like to do. I would like to ask a question, and once that question is answered, I would like to make a comment. So let me ask my question first. And please excuse me for diving right in, but God bless and greetings to everybody.
Bless you, Bishop.
In the scripture that Overseer Brooks quoted, come unto me, all you that labor, and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. I would like to know if Jesus was directing this comment to those of us who are in Christ, laboring in the Word, that we should anticipate a rest or a season of rest from our labor? Or was Jesus speaking to those who are unsaved, who are burdened and heavily burdened?
Well, that's, I would say that he would be talking to the saved.
So,
Deacon,
well, I'm not sure. Go ahead,
Overseer. Well, when the scripture clearly says, come unto me all. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that he was just talking to the saved. If he says, come to me all, that means anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So, I wouldn't discriminate and say that it was just for the believers. I would say anybody that comes, that's because those that are, you have laborers, you have people that are laboring that are saved, and you have people that are laboring that are unsaved. So this is open for anyone.
Yeah. And, I want to weigh in on this, too, because that subsequent verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so to me, that is an invitation to the unsaved to lay down their burdens and
absolutely
take up the cross and then learn of Christ and they will find rest for their souls. And then
Amen.
He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to me, it seems clearly an invitation to the unsaved and, you know, as well as the saved.
Amen. Amen. I concur.
So I know Bishop Tindall has an answer for this question.
Teacher Margaret, Bishop has an answer when he asks the question.
Yes, that's
yes,
right.
He did.
Yes.
He had the answer when he asked the question.
Absolutely. The lesson is never ask a question that you're not able to answer.
Oh, well, oh. All right now.
All right, Bishop.
Well, it's not like a defense attorney in a courtroom. One thing they say is you never ask a witness a question if you don't know what their answer is going to
be. That's right.
But this is a little different. This is a little different. That was really an honest inquiry because
yes.
I would like that there be no confusion in anybody's mind that hear that scripture and perhaps have a tendency to take it out of context. The key word is all. Jesus
Amen.
Said, come unto
Amen.
Me, all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, that
mm-hmm.
and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the body of Christ as Christians, we are oftentimes perplexed and burdened with the responsibilities that the Lord has given to us. Even though we do those things with joy, we must yet consistently go to the Father through his Son so that by the presence of the Holy Spirit, we may have rest or seasons of desistance, not to cease from our labor, but to find strength to continue to do our work. On the other hand, for those that are not saved, for those who have been out in the depth of sin, I've heard them many times say that God saved me from a miserable life of sin. But if sin was so miserable, so many people would not be in it. It is the consequences of a life of sin that is miserable. And from that, Jesus invites you to come to me because I have the solution for the consequences of a life without Christ. And in me, you can find rest. Rest in the knowledge of knowing that if this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, you have another building.
Amen.
Thank you all for answering the question. But if I may at this time make my comment.
Yes, Bishop, please.
Thank you. The comment is in retrospect to a very special event that took place last month in the laity training ministry. The month of April was given to the laity training ministry as a time for them to have a fundraiser in support of the laity training ministry. And as you all know, the laity training ministry consistently opens doors and presents opportunities for so many of us in the UFCCM to have expressions, to go on national radio, to be involved with exegesis on the Word of God and exhortation on the Scriptures. And for the marvelous job that they are doing, unfortunately the response was not what we expected. And I'm just making this appeal. If you did not make a contribution to laity training ministry on last month, take this opportunity to do so. It doesn't matter whether it's large or small, but whatever you're able to give, we encourage you to please do so. It would be most appreciated and give the laity training boost.
Thank you so much, our ecumenical patriarch, Bishop Tindall, for that question and that exegesis on the question, and also for your comments about our fundraiser. God really knows just what to do and when to do, because it was on my heart and I didn't want to belabor it, but I'm so glad that the Lord made a way for that plea to be heard again, because we do need your support in this ministry. So thank you, Bishop, and I hope those of you who are listening, if you have not made a pledge, you can do so on Givelify. And when you do, just make a little note for the Ministry of Laity Training, and it will be so greatly appreciated as we continue to carry forward this work of the Lord. Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers?
Teacher Tindall, we have plenty of callers, but no one has pressed one as yet. And so I would encourage those, as Teacher Tindall often says, you know, to participate, have a question or a comment, please press one on your phone. Press one right now, and then that way we will know that you are asking to be put on the show. And so we'll be very, very happy to do that. So please press one now. And until I see someone, I will just ask, I want to say that I'm very proud of I'm proud in a godly way, not proud in the other way. You know, you don't like to use the word proud too much because, you know, that's kind of a negative situation at times. But I would say that we're very proud and very happy. Bishop-elect is listening as well, and about Deacon Zindler. And, of course, you know, our overseer Brooks was good to hear his voice, and always good to hear Bishop Tindall. You know, it just kind of does something for us, you know, when you hear their voices. Deacon Zindler, I'll ask you this question, you know, and it's kind of a drive-by, and it is an actual question. When we're talking about Sabbath rest, would you say that if you don't take some type of Sabbath rest, that you are operating in the sin of omission and to some degree? And if so, how?
That's interesting. I would have to say yes. And I look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments today are still valid. And the third commandment is that we keep the Sabbath rest. And in Hebrews, it is another commandment that, you know, it reiterates that a Sabbath rest remains for today. It's one of those, Bishop, as, you know, God, every commandment is a commandment of love. God has love undergirding every single commandment he gives us. And this commandment is, you need to stay connected to me if you want to remain obedient to me and if you want to remain in my presence. If we don't take those times, and like Overseer Brooks said, you know, they can, you know, if it's not a whole day, it should at least be part of that day. I really think that you get the best benefit if you can give the whole day, but I don't think everyone who doesn't give the whole day, you know, is sinning. It's one of those things that the more you do it, the more benefit there is for you, and you stand the danger of being disobedient to God in other areas of your life if you aren't setting aside time to come to him and to be for him to take your yoke. So I do think
there is,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Teacher Tindall, we do have another caller. Right before I bring that caller in, I just wanted to have Deacon Zindler to clear something up, and I think Overseer Brooks already did that, as well as Bishop Tindall. Saturday, you know, most folks, you know, say, you know, if you're doing something on Saturday, then you're out of the will of God because that's the Sabbath. So, you know, we might want to clarify what is it, because, you know, they're annual Sabbaths. There's all types of Sabbaths, you know. And
right.
I think, again, like I said, I believe that Overseer Brooks and Bishop Tindall already clarified it. But if you can just kind of just put the, you know, the end to, you know, what is this Sabbath, and then we'll, Teacher Tindall, I'll go ahead and bring in, actually, it's Bishop-elect, I see her phone number. I don't, she's not in here with me, but I do see her phone number with her hand up. All right.
Yep. So the Sabbath rest is yes, like when I worked in a place, that an environment where Sunday was a required day because it was a residential treatment facility, you had to work on Sunday, it was necessary.
So the Sabbath rest I took was a different day. But I feel like there are moments of Sabbath rest that we enter into when we set it aside. I think the greatest value is when we set aside a whole day. I can't take that away because, you know, the Jewish people are still, the Orthodox Jews still really do a Sabbath rest. I think there is great benefit to it. I do think we are to honor God on the Sabbath, which for most of us is on Sunday. But, no, I don't think it's the same sin like murder. I think it's more of a sin of it's an omission of a practice that can really keep you close to God. So I don't know how to answer that exactly.
Well, that's okay. You know, thank you so much. I think that that resonated in some folks' heart out there.
And Bishop Page, before you bring in Overseer Bishop-elect, I'm still pondering on this question, and I'm throwing it out to callers, and I'd love for, after Bishop-elect, if we hear from some callers. And my question was the pandemic a time of rest for you?
Well, was it a time of rest or was it a time of excuse?
Well, that's true. That's possible. But I'm really interested in that because for me it was a time of devotion and time to spend with God. But I contemplate on that, listeners, while we hear from our very own Bishop-elect, Beverly DeShazer Haywood.
Please remember, as Teacher Tendler says often, please press 1, and then we'll bring you in. All right. Well, Bishop-elect, you are on. Bishop-elect, you're on. You press 1. Yeah, I think you're muted.
Sorry, I was muted.
Greetings.
Sorry about that. I do give honor to God, amen, today, and his precious son, my Savior, to our ecumenical patriarch, Bishop Tyndall, Mother Bishop, to you, Teacher Tyndall, our speaker on today, our Deacon Monica, my own husband, Bishop Haywood, and also, you know, as I was listening, and it was blessing my spirit, my heart, just to listen, and it took me back to, you know, many of us that have come through certain ministries and work. You know, we were taught to just work, 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 and there were no breaks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And there are many times, you know, Sunday meant all day church.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
And and we labored, and through the week there were many things going on. I very rarely saw my parents take a break, to the point that when we came to the area that we're living in now, in Fond du Lac, and dealing with the pastors here, and they were talking about sabbaticals, I'm like, how dare you take a sabbatical? What do you mean? You're supposed to work. You got to work, 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 you know. And but when the church, and I believe the first time we were sent away was through our women's ministry, and Deaconess Monica was a strong part of organizing that we could get a break away, that it felt good to be removed from all of the burdens of the people and the work and everything that you felt responsible for. You know, and I'll never forget the day that I was in service and I stood before the people and it was like I could feel and hear everything that was going on in the minds and the spirits of the people, and it just bomb rushed me as I stood before them trying to do a praise and worship. And I felt so heavy that I wanted to hurry up and end that and step aside, you know. And I did. I called for, you know, offering time, and I sighed, just trying to gather myself. And Elder Gilgenbach, you know, he came to me after service, and he said to me, "You weren't you today. And you need to get away." And I believe the bishop was headed to one of the bishop enclaves, and they sent me along just to get away. And I felt like I hadn't rested in so long that I didn't remember how to rest.
Yes.
Okay, because you're always gone. I couldn't settle my mind, you know, and I had to put myself in a position to settle me, you know.
Yes.
And then I thought on the word sabbatical and, you know, looking it up, you know, to educate myself, because we need to do that and understand the word of God and do study and digging and defining words that we understand even what it is that we're teaching the people. Because faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, well, we have to take on responsibility to give the people the right word, that they're understanding what the word of God is saying. And I'm looking at that word, and its archaic root is Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And in the definition of sabbatical, is taking a time away, you know, for study, for... You know, so it's not even just about our getting a break away. It should be an opportunity that we take to settle ourselves, that we can put more time into the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, because we need his word. Yes, we need his word. It's sustaining. You know, it fills us in areas when we're hurting, and the word comes and ministers to us. But we don't know that word and what the scriptures have to say to us and for us if we don't know the word. And you take that time, you know, to study. The pandemic really should have been used. If you found yourself without work, then it should have been an opportunity. And I say should have because I know many didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
But it should have been an opportunity to take time away. And you don't have all that business at that moment.
Exactly.
Take out some time to settle yourself and get into the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have. It's important for us to know. It's important for us to have that word, to have the relationship that we need to have with God, that we need to understand, you know, our Savior, you know, and the importance of what he did for us. And it just was peace to me, you know, to hear those words of the Sabbath. And when we take it, and it's whatever day that you set aside to do that, we shouldn't look at it as this is the day I'm going to stay in bed, or I'm going to, you know, break away from, you know, the family or whatever. It should include time in there that you're studying and taking time for the word of God.
Amen. That's the truth.
And that's all I have to say, and I love you all. And continue
love
to keep us in your prayers.
Well, you know, Bishop Elect, I love what you just said. And reflecting in the human perspective of we work so much in the church and doing so many things, and sometimes we get weary. And we do need that rest, that period of rest, spiritually and physically.
Yes.
In order to recharge our batteries. And it's almost analogous to what I've been learning more and more about sleep. I never appreciated the real meaning of sleep until I retired and started looking into it and learned that God has given us the ability to sleep as a way to keep our bodies healed and to do all the processes to rejuvenate and restore our bodies.
Amen. You know, I also believe that it's a good opportunity, you know, to go to God before settling down and closing our eyes to sleep. Because how many of us have closed our eyes to sleep but not truly resting?
Exactly. Because your brain and all the things going on.
Right. Amen. You know, and you're sleeping, you're not resting, your mind is still running on 100. And we need God by his presence, his spirit, you know, to come in and settle us down.
Mm-hmm.
We can
Amen.
Get the proper rest.
Amen. And, you know, the other thing Sister Monica said, sometimes we do not sit long enough in the presence of God.
Amen.
And then she
Amen.
Said the Sabbath rest is a time when God brings light and order to give us rest in the midst of chaos. That Amen. In itself, the Sabbath rest, is a method of healing. It's
yes.
a method of allowing
Amen.
God to bring his light, to bring
Amen.
Order, and to give us peace and calm
yes.
in the midst of chaos with all the things that are going on around us. And we must stay long enough in the presence of God to commune with him, to develop intimacy with him, and also to hear from him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, I got so much out of this, Pastor, Bishop-elect, thank you so much, and we just want you and Bishop Haywood to know that we're yet keeping you in prayer. We have felt and feel your pain, but we also feel the comfort of God that he
yes.
is allowing to flow over you and to
yes,
comfort
amen.
You, even give you, Pastor Beth, even to give you rest.
Yes.
yes,
amen.
To
amen.
Give you
amen.
Rest. Because you said something so true. There's sometimes when I'm going through, I lay down and close my eyes, but so much is going on, I never really rest.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I know
yes.
that what you're going through is in your mind and is in your thoughts and all, and I've been there and done that with my parents and with my brother. But there is
yes.
a rest that comes from God, and he will give that to you.
Amen.
Yes.
I thank God for it. Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Amen. So, Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers to impress one?
Well, you know, there was one, and I think they called it a drop. And so I don't know. And so they're probably like, oh, no, what happened? So I'm sorry. You know, They're gone. And
that's okay. But I tell you what, everyone, I live for the day when we're inundated with callers who have something to share and something to say, because every month we have such stimulating and such encouraging messages that lift us to another level in our faith.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So, Deacon Zindler, again, our thanks to you for this wonderful lesson.
You.
That you have shared. You have given us a lot to think about, and not
Thank
only to
you.
Think about it, but a lot to take action on. Overseer Brooks, we thank you for the beautiful commentary that opened up even more avenues of thought
yes.
on the subject.
Amen. Amen.
And,
thanks for having me.
Yes, we just
beautiful.
Thank God for you all. And, of course, we went a little over today, but that's all right, because anytime we're spending talking about the Lord and giving him the glory and the honor and praise, it is a wonderful time spent. So we
Teacher
want
Pendle.
To remind you all that I have a couple of announcements I'd like to say very quickly. Conference is coming.
Ooh.
Our
yes,
annual
is.
UFCCM conference is coming on June 22nd through the 25th. It is, believe it or not, listeners, it is our 17th annual conference. Isn't that exciting?
Wow.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, amen.
It is so exciting, and I personally am excited because I've been there for every last one of them, and I don't want to miss this one.
Amen. Praise God.
Now, you all remember with Bishop-elect, message about the football last year and Bishop Nixon and Overseer Tyndall,
yes.
those messages that took us to another level. Well, this
yeah.
year we are looking for a spectacular experience.
Yeah.
And so we want you to remind you to keep checking the UFCCM website for more details, for registration information, about our conference, and we're looking for it to be a spectacular spiritual event for us this year in 2021. Want to remind you that our next broadcast will be on Saturday, June 12th, and that's just 2 weeks before our conference, and we are praying for God to direct what we will have on that broadcast to build us up and get us charged up and ready to go for our conference. As Pastor Overseer Tyndall said on our jurisdiction meeting program last night, ready, set, go. So we want to be ready, we want to be set, and we just want to go forward in the Lord during our conference. And also, I know Bishop Haywood is telling me to hurry up. I want to remind you of our 24-hour prayer meeting for the month of May. Information for that will be forthcoming from our EP and from your jurisdictional bishop. And we're encouraging everyone to participate in these prayer meetings. There is power in prayer, and we need to pray without ceasing as never before. So, Overseer Brooks, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Teacher Tyndall,
Teacher Tyndall, one moment.
I noticed that Bishop Tyndall was still on, and his number was still up. So I just went in to ask him what, you know, I asked them, you know, was it still up? Did they have anything else? And I think that is the case. So I just wanted to let you know that before, and I wasn't rushing you. That was me.
Oh, I heard that
hitting a button,
music.
A praise. Yeah, no, that was just a praise button, but it didn't get to the music.
Okay. Well, bring Bishop Tyndall back in, then Bishop Haywood.
All right, there they are, right there.
Praise God, Teacher Tyndall and Bishop Haywood. This is Mother Bishop.
Greetings, Mother Bishop.
Greetings to you, Teacher Tyndall, and to Deaconess Monica Zindler and to Overseer Brooks. We've been just rolling along listening to the broadcast and the wonderful expressions that have been coming forth. And I was just listening to the comments coming from Bishop-elect DeShazer Haywood, and I was just thinking of the fact when you're talking about rest, I just want to give this little comment that it's during a rest period that our brains are able to filter out certain negative things, and we're able to really have a time of putting witty interventions and inventions together. It's a time when we're able to clearly think through something. And it is so important as Christians that we have that time of not only physical rest, but that time that we have a mental rest. Because when we clear our minds, the Holy Spirit is able to come in and to give us new ideas, new thoughts, new directions. When everything is clouded, it's very difficult to think of new things. So this Sabbath that we're talking about, or time of desistance from doing things, when God had gotten to the seventh day and he rested, what he did, he desisted from creating. He stopped making things. And that is a message to us, that we get caught up and all of the things around us, that as Christians, we need to stop and rest, set that time aside. And I love what Deacon Zindler said, that it is so important to our spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, God speaks to us, and we're able to grow as Christians. So the broadcast was absolutely lovely. It was wonderful. It was deep. And it was truly soul-searching. And truly, it speaks volumes to especially those that are in positions of leadership, that oftentimes we don't take enough time away from things and people to really clear our minds, to let the Holy Spirit just refresh us.
Amen.
And thank God for this broadcast, because it is so important, so needed. And I thank you.
Thank you, Mother Bishop, so much for those comments, echoing and expanding upon what Bishop-elect said. And it just occurs to me, we need to at some point do a seminar or some learning experience for leaders on the value of rest.
Yeah.
and not only our pastors and all, but even our lay members who are in charge of different ministries and so forth, just to do a session on the value and the benefits of rest in your work.
Yes.
Because sometimes we get weary in the way, but not weary of the work, but we need rest from the way, our labor sometimes, just to recharge our batteries.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll be looking towards that end, but we thank you, Mother Bishop, for those comments. There's so many reminders that we need to think about to help us in our walk. And finally, if you know any individuals who want to know more about the UFCCM, please invite them to check out our website at ufccm.org. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions for topics that you would like to see addressed on these broadcasts, I sincerely invite you to just shoot me an email at teachertyndall@ufccm.org, because this broadcast is for you. And if there's something that's on your heart that you would like us to look at, please share that information with us. So at this point, remember, we would love to hear from you, and we're going to close out, and I'm going to ask our very own Overseer Brooks. We're so proud of him, and I think about how God has brought him from such a long way. It just builds my faith even more to see how God can heal and deliver us from inflictions of the body and so forth, afflictions of
Thank
the
God.
Body. So, Overseer Haywood, we love you. Overseer Brooks, we love you dearly. And if you would close us out in prayer.
Father, we give you all the praise and glory and honor. We thank you again for this time of celebration of 6 years for the radio broadcast. And, Lord God, we just thank you for six more years, and six on top of that, Lord. Thank you for Teacher Margaret, Bishop Haywood, taking charge and going forth with the radio broadcast. We honor you and we bless you and we praise you. We thank you for the UFCCM. We thank you for Bishop Tyndall, First Lady, Shirley Tyndall. God, continue to bless and keep us, Lord God, as Mother Bishop just said, in regards to giving us witty ideas in our time of rest. And, Lord, we ask that you would give us witty ideas throughout this pandemic in regards to our ministries, in regards to our personal lives, in regards to where you would have us to take the ministry to the next level. We honor you, God, and we bless you and we praise you. We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. It is in your name that we pray and we say amen. And we thank you for our listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. And remember, if you haven't made a pledge to support this ministry, you can do so at Givelify. God bless. Take care. Love you all.
Bye.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to ufccm.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.